want to make it available again to you. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. And I want to urge you to become a partner. Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chris.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And this evening, we're going to have Sharon Hughes, we're going to have Al Copeland here, and we're going to be talking about certainly some a product. But before we got into that, I really wanted to mention there's a very interesting article that appeared today in the New York Times, either today or yesterday. And, of course, we've been anticipating an attack on Iran. The question was when it was going to come. And certainly we talked to a retired gentleman from the CIA, 27 years there. A name is Ray McGovern. He had written a couple of letters, public letters, suggesting that the President of the United States announce that Israel should not attack Iran. And if President Obama would make that statement, the attack wouldn't take place. Well, of course, we've moved all of our naval forces, at least three carrier groups, in immediate proximity to Iran. We've been wondering what's going to happen. A lot of rhetoric going out, a lot of misinformation, a lot of talk about Iran going nuclear tomorrow when they put the fuel rods into the reactor there. A nuclear reactor is going to produce electricity. It has nothing to do with nuclear bombs. And then, Sydney, either yesterday or today, the New York Times announced that the Obama administration had told Israel that Iran would not have a nuclear weapon for at least a year. There is no urgency for an attack, which may very well mean that they're going to put the attack off. I certainly hope and pray that's the case. We will know when we begin to see, or if we see, them pulling the naval units out of the area immediately adjacent to Iran. But it may well be that for one reason or another, they've delayed the attack, and I'm just so thankful we have, because I think it would be a disaster, and it will be a disaster for the United States when the war and the attack comes on Iran, a totally unjustified attack, because Iran is not building a nuclear weapon. We have this from a number of responsible intelligence sources, and would be glad to get them for you if anybody wants to see it. But most of what we read in the papers, most of what we see on television, is just hype and misinformation. Well, let's get to our special guest this evening. It's Sharon Hughes, and we're going to be talking about Heart and Body Extract, and certainly Sharon does help Radio Liberty, and we appreciate her help so much. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and we have Al, I guess, on the other line. We'll be getting to him. Hi, Al. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
I'm doing fine, and because Al's been using this product for a good long time. And why don't you tell us just a little bit about, Al, how you got started using Heart and Body Extract, and has it helped you?
Well, myself, I didn't have any type of heart blood pressure problem, but I want to do is prevent it. But what it was, my brother, one of my brothers, he had real bad angina pains. It just happened continuously, and nothing was really helping him. So I read this article concerning this heart and body. So when I called, I talked with Sharon, and she sent it right out. And when he started taking it, it was less than three to four days. I can't believe it, that the angina pain started to subside considerably. And that's why I said, wow, this is amazing. I've been taking myself for over five years, because you don't want to wait till I don't wait till I have a heart attack or stroke or anything like that, because of my age, I'm over 60 myself. And prevention is far, far better. So That's the reason why I've been taken on by the four. Some of my clients that I work with as well.
All right, we can talk a little bit more about your clients and the sort of work you do here. We'll be back in just a moment. And Sydney, our guest this evening, Sharon Harris, and Sydney, who actually manufactures the Heart and Body Extract, and of course Al Copeland, who does use this in his work. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Sharon, how is things going? Is certainly the product continues moving very well?
Yes. Even in the summer months, when there's more sunshine, there's still demand, and I expect as the weather gets colder throughout the United States and Canada, and people aren't getting that vital vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin, they're going to start to get, not feeling as well, and so business will boom even more. But actually, it's been very, very busy, and each month is busier than the last month.
So all right, fine.
Things are going very well.
All right, I'm certainly glad for that. Well, have you had any interesting testimonials about the product?
Well, we get a lot of them. On a daily basis, we have testimonials, and it's interesting, we're getting a number of doctor testimonials lately, so that's something quite special, because often with the doctors, they can be quite focused in terms of the drug medications, those type of treatments, surgeries, etc. I actually talked to a cardiologist the other day, and he said to me, "Sharon, I can't believe it. I put one of my sickest patients on the Heart and Body Extract. It within 3 weeks, there was a dramatic improvement in the echocardiogram reports." And he says, "That is amazing. I have never seen such a thing." He's only taking 15 drops three times a day. "That's not that much, is it?" And I says, "No, well, that's the dosage for a 150-pound man, but no, it's really not that much. But the body really doesn't need that much. As long as it's getting, the proper nourishment, it can utilize what it gets and get the most right out of it." So he was really, really amazed. And he said to me, "I'm going to start putting your brochures in my waiting room." And I said, "Well, that's fantastic."
Well, of course, that's quite a testimonial.
It is from a cardiologist, you bet.
Right. And, because, they're used to, have all these fancy medications, and I'm sure some of them are helpful. Some of the traditional ones are helpful. But, certainly there's much more to this than certainly the beta blockers and the alpha blockers and all of these things. And certainly I believe that nature has given us ways of actually controlling various diseases. It's just a matter of learning how to use the various things that God has created.
That's right. That's right. And that's exactly what I believe in. And Al believes, and Dottie believes, and you believe, is God created the herbs, and that's where the answers are. Absolutely.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to just bring all of our stations back on board here in just a minute, and we're going to get maybe Al to tell us a little bit about the work that he's been doing, and because I know he uses you. You use a dark field, Al? Is that what you use?
Yes, dark field.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney Sharon was just telling about a cardiologist who's actually been so pleased with the product, he's putting the brochures for Heart and Body Extract out in his waiting room. But Al, Sydney, you work with a dark field. What do you accomplish with that, and what have you learned, Sydney, about the product from using a dark field?
Well, basically, what you see in dark field microscopy, it takes each blood cell and magnifies it between 28 to 30 some thousand times this way, and also you can see the surrounding fluids and what's in the blood, and in the Bible, the Leviticus says life is in the blood. So when you look at the blood in its live state, they take a couple of drops of blood, put it under the microscope on a slide, within a minute from the time it comes from the body, you can see all these things in the blood, and you see anything from cholesterol crystals. You can see things that these cells all stacked on top of each other like quarters, rows of quarters. And what that does, when the blood is thick, the blood is not flowing like it needs to. And this is one of the some of the contributing factors too, like blood pressure, cholesterol problems. People have diabetic circulation and other type of health issues. So by seeing these things, and you can see what, and also the client sees it also, because the TV monitor is right there in front of them, and help them to see why they need to do more or do something to help the body, assist the body. And
well, no, what difference do you see when you actually the patient is on a heart and body extract? You can actually see
once
any
the
difference.
Start doing heart and body, and they don't some dietary. You can see where the blood, the what the what you call the low, begin to this not stacked on top of each other. The blood look like it's flowing more freely. The blood is moving, because a lot of times when I put the person's blood on the microscope, within 1 minute or 2 minutes, just it congeals, and it start, the cells is not moving. But once you start getting the proper nourishment and things like this, you can see that for 10, 15 minutes, the blood just flowing. Is they don't, the cells has a negative charge. It's put back into the cells, and they like dance with each other, and they touch each other, bounce off. So you see where the increase in blood flow surrounding fluids doesn't have the excess waste and cholesterol crystals and all those things begin to diminish or disappear.
Well, now, basically what you're suggesting is the blood doesn't clot as rapidly?
Well, if it depends on just how low and how deficient the person is, and for the diet, if they been consume a lot of fatty foods, fried foods, cooked, a lot of excess cooked foods, just things that cause the body, that the body can't break down and eliminate. So that causes the blood to be thick and doesn't flow like it needs to. That's the reason why so many people take blood thinners and other type of beta blockers and blood pressure medication.
Okay, hold that thought. Well, our telephone number here, if you would like to have a question for Sharon, she certainly knows more about the product than anybody I know, because she manufactures it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And suddenly, Sharon, would you like once again to tell us what is in the product, Heart and Body Extract?
Sure, that's a really excellent question. The formula is actually very, very high quality. It's liquid, it's organic, and wild-crafted. Wild-crafted meaning that the herbs, some of them are found out in the wild, and the herbalist would go out into the wild and pick them in a wild state. So what does it have in it? It has in it garlic. Garlic promotes a healthy immune system. It's a powerful antioxidant. Antioxidants can help the body fight against damaging free radicals. It'll help to support healthy blood pressure and cholesterol levels already in the normal range. Next is hawthorn berry and hawthorn leaves. It'll restore and stimulate the heart and the arterial circulation. It regulates and balances the whole cardiovascular system.
And hawthorn has been really used for centuries for treatment of the heart. It's an old time remedy, not used anymore except for people who are aware of its benefits and the advantages of certain herbs. But hawthorn has always been used for the heart. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. And it's a very important ingredient. Hawthorn is very important in the formula. Next is coleus. Coleus has a 3,000-year history in medicine. And it's used as a tonic for promoting a healthy heart and lungs. It also supports a healthy blood pressure level already in the normal range. Next is motherwort. It's a circulatory stimulant, and it is also a relaxant and a nerve tonic. Next is bilberry. Bilberry is very good for the eyes, night vision. It dilates the blood vessels, and it promotes a healthy immune system. Next is butcher's broom. It maintains healthy vascular permeability and assists the circulation. Next is mistletoe. It promotes a healthy immune system. It has a calming effect on the body. It supports the healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next is kelp, which is used mainly for iodine and the effect it has on the thyroid gland. Next is ginger. It'll support healthy liver function. It's nervine, and it will stimulate the circulation, especially in the extremities. And then finally, cayenne pepper, which will equalize the blood flow in the body. It enhances the effect of all of the herbs. It'll stimulate the body and the organs properly so that they can cleanse and function optimally.
All right. Well, we've got Scott calling from upstate New York. Let's see what Scott has. Scott, do you have a question or comment?
How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing fine. What part of upstate New York are you from?
Right in Amsterdam. I spoke to you a few months ago when you had a Lyme disease specialist down there.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, I was going to ask Sharon. I've been on Coumadin for about 7 years because they determined I had factor V Leiden from a blood test, and I'm wondering if this is a product that I could use to supplement that or eventually get off the Coumadin altogether.
That's actually a very common question. I get that kind of a question almost every day. In fact, I think on the frequently asked questions, I'm going to put that question answer on because it is so common. It really, really is. As is, you know, people asking about different kind of medications. I'm on a beta blocker. I'm on, you know, all the different kind of drugs that are possible to be on. So anyway, the answer is yes. It's perfectly fine to be on the formula. We would suggest taking the heart and body extract an hour before any drugs, including the Coumadin. It will not make your blood too thin. So that's the main concern that people have. Will it make my blood too thin? No, it will not. It'll assist your body to balance the blood to the perfect level of thickness. And the desire always is to, as your body is improving, as your health is improving, to gradually reduce yourself off of medications. So what you want to do is work with your doctor with that. As he takes your test, he'll notice that the levels of the Coumadin should be reduced, and then at that point he should be gradually weaning you gently, slowly off of the Coumadin. That would be the goal.
So in time I could actually eliminate the use of Coumadin altogether is what you're saying.
That is always the goal, yeah. For many, 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 many people, that is the case, yes. We're all different. We're all unique. Everybody has different results. But as a general assumption, yes, that is the goal, and that, yes, that should happen for you.
Scott, why are you taking the Coumadin?
Well, they had done a bunch of blood work, and when they discovered that I had Lyme disease, they had a hematologist, and they determined that I had factor V Leiden. So my blood clots too quickly, clots too heavily.
Okay.
So they use it as an anticoagulant, but I personally have read some good stuff about it, some negative stuff, and I was looking for an alternative to get off of it.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
I was going to say to Scott that we have helped people with some of the most severe clot problems. So if you have that kind of challenge, I would encourage you, try the Heart and Body. It has the butcher's broom in there, which is very, very good for assisting the body to help prevent excess platelet aggregation, which causes the blood clots, and
okay.
There's no negative side effects. It can only be good for you.
And cayenne is also good for that, and in the product as well.
I had was, now, does
yes.
this actually help remove, like, plaque on the walls and things of that nature?
And good, but just check with your doctor, too, there, Scott. But anyway, thanks very much for calling. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. So if you have a question, comment, why, certainly Sharon's on the front lines of this as she deals with people every day. You've been doing this for, what, about 9 years now? 8 or 9 years you've been selling this?
It's actually been 9 years, yes, and we've helped tens of thousands of people all over the world. And we have clients in all sorts of countries. Yesterday we sent a parcel out to Italy and then the Philippines and, of course, the UK and Brazil was in the load. So, yeah, there's a lot of different countries. I would say most of our customers are in the United States and then second to that, Canada and then the UK. But, yeah, many, many people. And we get excellent results very safely.
All right, fine. Well, now, Sir Al, as far as you're concerned, you can actually visualize the fact that the blood doesn't seem to clot anymore as well. They call it roulette, but Rouleau, I think it is. Right, they all line up there, and they sort of clump together, and I can remember.
They stack on top of each other, or they clump together.
Right.
And what that does, because, you know, the heart's beating 100,000 times per day, then you talk about up to, they say, between 70 to 100,000 miles of veins. And when the blood is thick or is not flowing like it needs to, it causes pressure against the veins, and that in itself is what contributes to the blood pressure problems.
Hold that thought. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. I'll go right ahead.
Yeah, also what makes it so hot body so effective is being a liquid extract. And being you put it under the tongue and you hold it for about 3 to 4 minutes. Now,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount gold and silver trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1 ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And then the website is www.heart, heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com.
All right, fine. And Sharon was telling us about this one study that had been done up in Canada. It was in Vancouver.
Right.
And what
right.
did they do? They had 100 patients. But
yeah, there was 100 patients that we advertised for the patients to come in. And they were given product for free. And it was a blood pressure study of before and after blood pressure readings. That was the main thing. So the patient would come in one time, get their blood pressure taken, then they'd come in 6 weeks later, get a second reading, and then a third time 6 weeks later for the last reading. And then the doctors monitored the results of before and after. And as well as noticing differences in the blood pressure, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to have a little time to look at the case studies, they did notice quite a bit of difference in terms of other different challenges that people were having too, like things like people having more energy, more vitality, more zest for life, a better quality of life type of things, hearts regulating, beating more effectively. There was one very interesting case of a person that had what's that disease where a person has a lot of pain when they're not sleeping very well?
Something like fibromyalgia?
Exactly. Yeah, very severe fibromyalgia patient getting fantastic results. So some of those case studies we want to have posted on there, too, by the doctors. So they were very, very pleased with the results, the doctors, and they said, if this was a drug, it would be on the front pages of the newspaper.
Well, of course, it's not a drug, fortunately, because if it was a drug, why, you'd have to go through the FDA, whereas you don't have to as long as it's a health product.
That is true. But what they were trying to say is these type of natural things like the heart and body won't get the attention as a drug just because that's the way our system works.
And that's absolutely right. But I think people have to learn that they're going to have to start looking after themselves, find things because many times, many things in the alternative field really can be very, very beneficial. Many things in the health products can be very, very beneficial. And unfortunately, many of the things that are going on today, many of the products that are being given are made by the large pharmaceutical companies. People like things like the statins, in many respects, do far more harm than they do good. This is the great tragedy, and if you've never seen the material we have on the statins, the four-tape set, if you've never, certainly we have a book written by a man who is a part of the astronaut program on statins, and it really is very revealing. And these are the things that the average doctor doesn't know because he doesn't have time to read the large studies or to read the fine print and really find out that when they tell you that you're a 30% improvement, you have less chance of dying of heart or heart attack or stroke if you take the statin drugs. You've never had any heart attack or stroke before, but you're going to, 30% more chance. Well, basically what they're really talking about is the difference between 3 and 2. That's 1% difference, and probably related to anti-inflammatory reaction, but they say it's 30%. It's all how you do the figures, the old idea. Figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure. They make about $24 billion a year on a product that really offers very little benefit. But the average physician doesn't know that because he never reads the small print. So anyway, one more time, let's get your telephone number and your web page out because this half hour has just flown by.
It has flown by, and it's been a great half hour. It really has. So anyway, the phone number is 866-295-5305. Again, 866-295-5305. 295-5305. And the website is heartandbody.com. Heartandbody.com.
All right, fine. Well, Al, thank you so very much for being with us, Sharon.
Right,
Sharon Hughes, and we've had Al. Al, thank you so very much for being with us.
Sure.
We really appreciate you being on.
Be with you all tonight.
Do you have any parting thought before I let you go?
Yes, I want to remind people that if long-term studies have shown that using beta blockers and other type drugs literally what it does is slows the
lowers the blood pressure by decreasing the heart rate and the heart cardiac output, and the actual long-term use of it has proven to increase the cholesterol as well as the triglycerides in the blood and where in the heart and the body is a actual food, and everything has to do with deficiency to help strengthen.
Thanks, we're going to have to let you go. We're out of time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
This is Dr. Stan here, and our guest for this half hour, maybe only for 15 minutes or so, is the freeze-dry guy. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, I understand you're a little under the weather.
Oh, a lot of long hours and just kind of dragged out after a very difficult week.
All right, fine. Well, we won't keep it too long, but we just as soon as we get our stations on board, or we'll talk a little bit about the various products that you're offering. And we did try that shrimp, but I'll tell you that was just delicious, as was the hamburger. I couldn't believe the shrimp tasted as good as they do. We didn't do anything; we just took them right out of the can.
Yes, that's all you do. Did you rehydrate them?
Barbie didn't rehydrate them. She just had them. But I'm sure they could be hydrated and put into all sorts of sauces and other things. And cream shrimp, something of that sort would be delicious. Yeah. No, we just wanted to see what they tasted like right out of the can, and boy, were they good.
You liked them that way, you will absolutely love them after you rehydrate them.
Well, I'll tell you, Barb, my wife is very, very talented in all of these things, but we're a little rushed this evening. She had promised you we would have them before we did the program this evening, so we had them, and they certainly passed the taste test, and I think that you can be, I can assure our listeners, as I will when we bring all of the stations on board, that was just plain delicious. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this evening is for this about 15 minutes, then we'll do open lines the last 15 minutes, but right now we have the freeze-dry guy on with us, and of course he provides us with all sorts of fascinating products, and this last week he sent us a number 10 tint can of shrimp. That freeze-dried shrimp. Whoever heard of freeze-dried shrimp? Well, my wife actually had them for dinner tonight. Just took them right out of the can. Didn't do anything with them. Go ahead. Oh, there's my wife on the line. Go ahead.
Well, we did rehydrate them.
Oh, you did rehydrate them.
Oh, yes. Yeah, just like a freeze-dried guy told me to do.
Oh, all right, fine. So you did rehydrate them.
Yes.
And what did you do? Did you put them in water or what?
Yes. You put it. You heat the water up till it's really good and warm.
We cut Barbara, my wife, off, so I'm going to ask Barbara to call back in again. I don't know what happened. We obviously hadn't pushed the buttons enough times. But anyway, of course, apparently Barbara did rehydrate them before we actually had them. But we had the shrimp, we had the hamburger. These are two products that the freeze-dry guy carries, and they really are delicious. So do you get a lot of compliments on them, freeze-dry guy?
Oh, I do, Dr. Stan. Sorry for the lag time there. I got cut off, too, but I'm of course, back on. We've had them nothing but rave reviews. Many years ago, when we first had them, back around 73, I believe, I was at a fair, and we rehydrated some for folks. They're very quick. And some lady joined the presentation after we started, and she didn't see what we had done. And we sampled them out, and she began yelling at me. She said, "What kind of fools do you think we are? This is fresh shrimp." And there were about 50 people standing by, and they were kind of chuckling. And I said, "Well," and I didn't want to embarrass the lady, but I said, "Well, let's try this again." And so she watched us make them up. Then she tried it. She threw the spoon down and stomped off. I guess that meant she liked it but was embarrassed. you really can't tell them from fresh, because that's what they become when they rehydrate.
Well, this really is an amazing phenomenon. Now, Freeze-Dry Guy does offer freeze-dry products and many different products, but certainly the ones we've tried this last week were the hamburger, and, of course, it's hamburger. It doesn't constitute as a hamburger. It's simply the granules of the meat, but they're just delicious, and certainly would make you could certainly fry them up with potatoes. You could certainly put them into a meatloaf, or I'm sure there are all sorts of means by which that they could be utilized, but they really do taste just like hamburger, and certainly the shrimp tastes just like shrimp. In fact, they're extremely good. I was very, very pleased with them. Well, I guess it's the freeze-dry guy, and the freeze-dry guy does help keep Radio Liberty on the air, and certainly we always enjoy talking with him. Certainly, is there an increased interest in laying in supplies of food and other survival products? I would think people would certainly want to have a good supply of long-term storage food on hand. What are your experiences? Because I know you have a lot of outlets across the country.
Yes, Dr. Stan. Well, you know, we've been doing this 40 years, and when we started, people thought the freeze-dried food is something you didn't really need and was a little more expensive, which it is a little more expensive than store-bought because it goes through a very sophisticated processing, but, you know, to get it in a freeze-dried state. But then again, it's shelf-stable for 30-plus years. It's picked up dramatically. I've maintained for years that one day, preparedness will become, you know, commonplace. In fact, it's sort of happening already. So I know we've increased our business over this time frame by almost 50% each year for the last 2 years. And May was our biggest month ever. June passed that. July probably very close to it. So it's becoming maybe not mainstream, but like I say, pretty close.
All right, fine. Well, would you like to get out your telephone number? Would you like to get out your website? People would know how to get in touch with you.
Yes, sir. We've got two numbers I'll give out here. Our 866 number, our toll-free, is 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. My direct line to my desk here, and if I don't get it, one of my people will. But 530-798-4413. And again, 530-798-4413. Email address is info@freezedryguy.com. And our website is freezedryguy.com.
And that's pretty easy to remember. It's just the Freeze Dry Guy. And you can go up on your search engine and pull that down. Well, Sydney, you actually have something very interesting. In addition to the number 10 tin cans, you actually have a package for people taking when they're going hiking, things like that?
Yes, Dr. Stan. We have a unit. I think we sent you one, perhaps. It's called the Just In Case. It's 28 pouches, which is 21 very generous meals. It's made for heavy-duty backpacking. I can't imagine somebody would eat it up in less than a week. And weighs in about 7 pounds. So for a week, you've got, again, for 7 days worth of food, you're carrying 7 pounds of food. It's very lightweight. And the shelf life on that, it has a very conservative listed shelf life of, I think, 7 or 12 years. But it's my experience with it. I've had pouches that were 35 years old, fresh as a daisy, but typically 15 years plus on the pouches and better than double that on the cans.
All right, fine. And Sydney, you sent me a few of the pouches. I didn't get this master set that you're talking about. But Sydney, the advantage to having these things is they're easy, they're readily available, and once you have them, at least you know that you'll have food for at least a week, no matter what happens.
That's right. You know, Go right ahead. Well, I was going to say, typically survival food has always had a bad rap because most of it tastes really bad. The nice thing about our food is it's delicious. When water hits it, 10 minutes later you can be preparing dinner for your mother-in-law and come out looking good. And that's a shock to people that, again, survival food would be so good-tasting and highly nutritious.
Well, one of the things that, Sydney, intrigued me, my son has all sorts of allergies and has to be very careful. But certainly MSG, sulfites, certainly I don't know, there might be sulfites in the shrimp, but most of the things, almost all of them that don't have either MSG or the sulfites. Now, those are the number 10 cans. We actually looked at this, and certainly they're free of it. So that gives you a real advantage. I mean, certainly you don't need these food enhancers, these taste enhancers. And a large number of people out there do have food these sensitivities to MSG and sulfites, and I was just so pleased to see that your products, most of them really don't have those there.
Well, we have no MSG at all in our products. I don't believe there's sulfites in anything. There are many, many years ago, there was some sulfite added to the peaches. We don't have peaches at this moment. I'm actually contracting to have some peaches freeze-dried, and they will not have sulfites. I just talked to a food broker today. We're having it's billed as freeze-dried butter. I thought it was dehydrated, but a freeze-dried butter done for us. No additives, no preservatives, and I probably can't mention the name of the company now, but it's a major manufacturer of butter, or processor of it, and it's a superb product. It's one of the best butters you can get in a fresh form, and we're going to have it probably within 3 to 4 weeks. We'll produce it in a pouch, 1-pound pouch, which is going to be a lot less expensive than buying a big number 10 case of the butter. And it is amazing. If you thought the shrimp was good, you're going to like the butter, too.
Well, we'll have to try that when it comes along. But certainly, right now, ladies and gentlemen, we do think that people should start making preparations for the very real possibility that our access to various food substances and other things we want could be cut off. And I hope and pray that this doesn't happen. But when a nation turns against God, sometimes terrible things happen to that nation. I think that we have an obligation to begin making preparations for ourselves, because you certainly cannot depend upon the government to come to your aid, as the people, of course, in Katrina have found out, and people down along the Gulf are finding out right now that they're having very, very real problems, and everybody's telling them there's absolutely nothing to worry about. And so that we've seen excessive flooding, and we've seen some of the strangest weather and tornadoes and the things that happened certainly this last month or so that are just very, very strange things are happening in America that have not been seen, I don't think, in quite some time. Well, do you have any specific point we should like to make before we let you go this evening?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I don't know if I touched on this last month when we spoke or not. We have a new line of food. We will have it on the floor probably next week, ready to start shipping. It's a gluten-free product, and totally gluten-free, packed for us in a gluten-free packing facility. So there's no way of any contamination. You know, people who have, celiac disease, I believe it's called, it's an intolerance to, again, gluten, which is in wheat, all kinds of items. What am I trying to say here? Macaroni, things like this. And it can kill people. And I did not realize that this was much of a deal. I'd had people, especially women, it seemed like, who have called me, seem to be more affected by it than men, but perhaps it's just who's been calling. And so many have said, does your product have wheat in it? Well, much of our freeze-dried, our entrees, of course, do because of the noodles and all. But as I looked more into this, this is a very real problem, and it affects at least 1% of the American public. Not a high percentage, but in an emergency situation where all you've got to eat is what you put aside, this would be life-threatening to many of these folks. And we've got a complete line we're coming out with. We're very pleased. Like I say, it's already produced. It's in route right now. But people who are gluten intolerant ought to be calling us and asking about this. And it's not only is it a gluten, a lot of companies boast of a gluten-free product, but then it will be manufactured in a packing facility that packs gluten. So apparently the item is in the air. It can affect anything that's been packed in one of those packing facilities. This is truly a gluten-free facility, and nothing with gluten in it ever comes into it.
Well, you know, one of the things that really concerns me is, certainly you go up on the Internet and you start looking for freeze-dried products, and so many of them are coming out of China, and I don't trust the things out of China. These are the products you carry really are produced here, aren't they?
Yes, sir. I'm the same way. About 3-4 years ago, backpacking, my grandson opened up a little pouch of food. There were bananas and strawberries in it. Beautiful-looking products. I started to eat one, and I turned the package around, and I can't say the company that had it, but it's a major company, and right below it said, made in China. We won't touch anything that comes from China, nor will we sell it, for various reasons, one of which is, again, like you, I don't trust what they do with food.
And I sure don't either, and we've seen some terrible, terrible disasters here, and there is no quality control over there, and besides that, I think there may be some people over there who just plain don't like us. We've lost an awful lot of animals from the dog food that was contaminated with melamine, and certainly how many people have actually gotten to serious problems eating Chinese food, I don't know, but I'm very, very skeptical. Well, I'm going to let you go. I know you're not feeling well, but thank you so very much for being with us, and we'll look forward. Hopefully you'll be feeling better next month when we talk to you.
I'll be fine, Dr. Stan. A good weekend will have me back in good shape.
All right. Bye-bye. God bless. Okay, that was the freeze-dried guy, and certainly he does help support Radio Liberty, and we appreciate his support. Well, we're going to do open lines, so if you have any questions or comments, anything you would like to talk about, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. I'm sorry, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And certainly, I think it was just today that there were a number of government officials who testified before Congress and swore under oath that they've evaluated the food there that's coming out of the Gulf, the shrimp and the crabs, and there's absolutely nothing to worry about. They assure us there's nothing to worry about. Do you really believe when the government tells us there's nothing to worry about that they're telling us the truth? They tell us that the fluoridated water is fine. Well, I've talked to the people who work for the Environmental Protection Agency who say they would lose their jobs if they came forward individually to tell you that we're being poisoned with fluoridated water, and 68% of the communities in this country are fluoridated today, and 90% of those are fluoridated with hydrofluorosilicic acid, and this is a disaster because, of course, of the fact that they've actually checked the blood of 450,000 children. 450,000 children. They did finger steps on them, finger steps to check the incidence of blood, of lead in the blood of these children. Now, why are you worried about the lead, level of lead in the blood of children who drink water that's fluoridated with hydrofluorosilicic acid? Well, because apparently the acid pulls the lead out of the solder, it pulls it out of brass fixtures, and of course these children had significantly increased levels of lead. In fact, in the white children, it doubled the lead level in the blood. In Hispanic children, it went up 4 times. In black children, it went up 6 times. And of course, you could correlate the criminal activity in these communities with the level of lead that there was in the use of hydrofluorosilicic acid. This was the work that was done by Dr. Roger Masters back at Dartmouth. We actually have his papers, and they are available from Radio Liberty. You can go up on the Internet, try to track them down. We have put them into syllabus because we want people who really are interested in knowing what's going on to have access to the information. You need to get our syllabus on the hidden agenda. You need to get our DVD on the hidden agenda. But if you want to simply see what the people at the EPA think about the water fluoridation that the government tells us is so safe, the only way that the people at the EPA, the scientists, can speak out is through their union. So they have a union. It's called the NTEU, the National Treasury Employees Union 280. Now, why it's Treasury Employees, I'm not certain, but anyway, that's the www.nteu280. www.nteu280.org. And certainly go to their website and read what the employees of the EPA have told Congress. They've sent this to Congress. They've sent it to the major media. The major media blacks it out. The congressmen are afraid to pick it up. Why? Because the government would come after them if they were to reveal that the government is intentionally poisoning the American people. Fluoride is a rat poison. It affects intelligence. It affects fertility. It produces cancers. It upsets your thyroid function because fluoride competes with thyroid, iodine for the thyroid. And if you go up on the internet, you can see my talk there on the Hidden Agenda, or you can pull down my articles. You don't have to buy the DVD. You don't have to buy the syllabus, although there's nothing quite like it out there. Understand that they know that they're poisonous with aspartame. They know what the bisphenols that line the cans and in plastics does, and the phthalates and all of these things. So when they tell you that there's nothing to worry about from the seafood that's coming out of the Gulf today, why, take that with 3 grains of salt. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we're going to go to Ron here in Washington. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program.
Yeah. Hello, Dr. Stan. Hang on a second. Hello, I'm on the other line.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Yeah, Dr. Stan?
Yes, right, go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about government employee salaries.
All right, go ahead.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
far better pensions. They get almost twice as much salary on average. That's all you can say. Ron thinks that we should be paying these people because they're all skilled people working for the federal government. Ron, make your point. I'll give you about a minute.
All right. Well, I just want to say you should compare apples to apples with experienced people to experienced people. And you brought up something that's just a peripheral issue about corruption. Oh, I agree with you. Outside of the Chicago building inspectors, corruption is absolutely uncalled for. So definitely they should get rid of people like that who are corrupt. And I would start with the President of the United States and some of the Supreme Court justices and members of Congress and high-level military people and some other and clergy. So if society is corrupt, I wouldn't just claim it's or assert that it's a monopoly of the federal government.
Well, I think the first thing we ought to do is fire about three-quarters of the people in the federal government because most of what they're doing is unconstitutional. Give us a call next Wednesday when we have open lines, okay?
Okay. Hey, thank you.
Okay, fine, Chris. That was Ron calling from, and he thinks that we certainly should be paying these people more because they're so skillful, and we have to have skillful people working for government. And I'd like to suggest the best thing we could do is simply get rid of most of the government employees. Certainly, we did not have to have all these high-paid government employees in the past because people abided by the Constitution and limited the power of the central government. And if you read the Constitution, you'll realize that most of what's going on today, as far as the government providing for the health and the welfare and the education of our people, most of this is unconstitutional. Let's get back to our Constitution. We can cut back dramatically on the number of federal and state employees because remember, of course, the function of government is not to help people. The function of government is to regulate and control people. And remember, of course, what Thomas Jefferson said. In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief by the chains of the Constitution. And he was echoing the beliefs of John Locke, who said, that government governs best that governs the least. Isn't it a shame that most Americans don't realize that today, and that the real enemy of freedom is government? Liberty and limited government are synonymous. Tyranny and total government are synonymous. Which direction are we headed for? Limited government or total government? And, of course, behind everything, there is the invisible government that controls the visible government. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD by that title, you need to get them. And if you can't afford to buy the DVD, you can watch it on our website at RadioLiberty.com for nothing. In fact, many of our DVDs are posted there, and you're welcome to watch them. But our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Pardon me, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And we do ask, of course, that you very seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family supporters and helping them. We are primarily listener-supported. We do have a few advertisers, and they do help us to stay on the air, but we primarily depend upon the people who listen to our programs to help us. We want to remind you about the all-day conference that's going to be held on the 17th of October, and we've got some great speakers bringing in from across the country, and so you're going to have reservations because we're serving lunch. If you're coming from a distance, why, you have to get your hotel reservations within the next 4 weeks to get the special rate. After that, why, you're not going to be able to get it. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. To understand how they're poisoning us with water fluoridation, the talk is the hidden agenda, the syllabus, the hidden agenda. We have certainly videos on what they're doing with aspartame. There are two of them. One is called Sweet Remedy. The other is called Sweet Misery. And I prefer the Sweet Remedy. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get the other information we have on population control. Do not believe when they tell you that the fish in the oil is perfectly safe.
But we're preventing this from happening. And you...
is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Grigg, former senior editor of the New American Magazine, and now a talk show a host in his own right. He's a regular blog author, and we always look forward to having him here on Friday evening. Hi, William. How are we doing?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well. Thanks again for having me on your program.
Well, what are we going to be talking about this evening?
I think we have to talk once again about a subject we touched on last week, and that would be this manufactured controversy over the so-called Ground Zero Mosque and some of the really interesting permutations in that story that make it pretty clear that the entire public here is being gamed. Just a few days ago, I was looking at a piece that was published by a fellow by the name of Jeffrey Goldberg of the Atlantic magazine. He made mention of the fact that Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, the fellow with the Cordoba initiative, who wants to rent space within this proposed Muslim community center that would be the equivalent of several normal city blocks away from the Ground Zero site, the Ground Zero Plaza, and nowhere near within eye shot, nowhere within a reasonable distance of the site of that horrible terrorist attack, that Mr. Abdul Rauf had been part of an Aspen Institute group that had been summoned to talk about new ideas with respect to interfaith initiatives and relationships. Now, Mr. Rauf is somebody who's very much a part of this whole vaguely globalist religious syncretism movement, which, of course, is very troubling for those of us who insist on making sure that we cut our doctrinal differences squarely and that we defend them honestly. The thing is, this guy is not what he's being depicted in much of the conservative media. They're depicting him, for the most part, as somebody who's a covert jihadist of a sort who's probably going to be using this so-called Ground Zero Mosque as a symbol of Muslim triumph and using this as Jihad Central. As a matter of fact, I believe it was actually referred to as Jihad Central on Fox News this past week. This guy is squishy soft when it comes to religious distinctions. He's somebody who's actually much closer to the establishment. He'd been collaborating with the FBI, which is something I find very troublesome. I'm much more suspicious of the FBI than I am of many of the groups that are being discussed as the real threat to our country, because the FBI has been deeply involved for many years in stage managing, orchestrating, choreographing these so-called terrorist threats. The fact that this guy has been working cheek by jowl with the FBI is the source of a lot of my suspicion about what he might be up to. But he's somebody who's very much comfortable in the company of the establishment elite. And just today, Steve Watson from PrisonPlanet.com, or who's associated with Alex Jones, did an admirable job of putting together evidence that this guy is actually very much part of the constellation of religious leaders who orbit the Council on Foreign Relations, that he's involved with the Religious Advisory Committee to the Council on Foreign Relations. That doesn't surprise me, because in looking into a lot of what he had been saying and a lot of the issues having to do with Sharia law, it was pretty clear that this guy was in the company and comfortable with people from that cohort. And so it looks like you're dealing here once again with something that has been orchestrated and choreographed for our benefit here in terms of tuning the public mind, most likely for a war with Iran.
Well, let me just comment that the Council on Foreign Relations, nobody will tell you this, but the Council on Foreign Relations was formed in 1921 as a front for the Round Table, which was a front for a secret society created by Cecil Rhodes in 1891. The Council on Foreign Relations' goal certainly is a one world government. It's a subversive organization dedicated to the destruction of the national sovereignty of our nation, and it also, of course, goes along with this whole idea of a one world religion, and anybody, of course, who's closely associated with it is immediately under suspicion. Well, you go right ahead, William.
The thing that I want to emphasize here is that I think that to the extent that we can prove anyhow that Imam Rauf is being used in this cynical campaign to tune the public mind in this country to escalate the war against the Muslim world, I'm pretty confident that this guy is, to use Mr. Watson's characterization of him, a stooge. I don't really think that he's somebody who is involved as a matter of being a deliberate, ideologically motivated or bought-off individual. I think he's somebody who's been caught in an undertow and ended up in the august company of the movers and shakers of the power elite, and that this is something that reflects their use of his misguided idealism rather than this guy being one of the people who are actually calling the shots. Now, on the other hand, you have Newt Gingrich, who's very much one of the luminaries in the CFR's political firmament, who's the guy who pretty much kicked off this entire campaign a few weeks ago when he, most likely as a result of discussions he had with like-minded people, took this inchoate campaign against what is called the Ground Zero Mosque and suddenly gave it national stature by writing op-eds about it and by discussing it on television news programs, network news programs. Newt Gingrich is somebody who has been the Speaker of the House. He's the self-anointed teacher of civilization. He's probably the closest thing that the Republican Party has right now to a public intellectual, although his intellectual achievements are grotesquely overstated by himself primarily and by others as well. And he's somebody who's probably going to be considering a run for the presidency in 2012. So he's somebody who obviously is sort of catnip for the television and news media and radio media particularly. He's constantly on Fox News. He's somebody who can have entree to CNN and some of the other cable news programs as well. So when suddenly he starts talking about this being a quote-unquote victory mosque and talking about this as if this were somehow an outrage that they want to build the equivalent of the YMCA several blocks away from the Ground Zero site where people have been meeting and praying. People from the Islamic faith have been meeting and praying there five times a day for a number of years. It's not as if we're dealing with something that's new. When Newt Gingrich suddenly confers his imprimatur on this as a matter of public concern, it becomes a news story. And then you ricochet from there to President Obama picking up the subject and thereby, because he's the president, turning it into a global news story. You have all the ingredients now for a self-sustaining, albeit thoroughly manufactured fuel that has now pretty much come to dominate every discussion on the radio. And
hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply pointing out that this whole issue of this mosque that's going to be built close to the Ground Zero defiles the memory of all the people who died there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a phony issue. First of all, there's a great deal of evidence that this was not perpetrated by the Islamist terrorists. If you read Robert Dreyfus's wonderful book, which we carry, called The Devil's Game, it points out that the CIA and MI6 have been financing this whole Islamic terrorist movement, starting with the Muslim Brotherhood, and then Al-Qaeda, and then the Taliban, and all you need to do is go up on the internet, your search engine, and put down CIA, ISI, ISI being the Pakistani Intelligence Unit, and you'll find out the CIA has been funding the ISI for years. Those are the people who fund the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and you can read the books that were written back before the 9/11 attack, books like old James Cooley's book on the Islamic terrorist movement, Dollars for Terror. And you'll find out that there was no question. In those days, everybody knew the CIA was funding Al-Qaeda. But we can't let Americans know that today. We can't let them even question that maybe Building 7 came down as part of a controlled demolition. And if that was, in fact, if you watch the Twin Towers come down, you notice that the top of one of the buildings sort of explodes before the rest of the building goes down. How could that possibly be, you know? But it sort of dissolves, and of course everything is vaporized. What they've done is they've shifted the issue from what really happened. I mean, was this really an Islamic attack to, oh, how terrible it is that the Muslims want to dishonor all those Americans who died? Well, basically, this is a beautiful example of how the media can create an issue and certainly distract us from what's really important and take away the debate on what the real issues are to a non-issue. So you pick up the story there, William.
Yeah. it's important to recognize that, as you pointed out, we're not talking about something that would be constructed literally on the ruins of the demolished buildings from September 11, 2001. You know, whether you subscribe to the idea that this was done by the proverbial 19, chiefly Saudi terrorists with box cutters on the one hand, or whether you subscribe to some kind of a revisionist approach, revisionist perspective of what happened that day. The point is, first of all, that nothing exists there right now. We're almost a decade out from that terrorist attack, and yet you have a great big hole in the ground. And this is property, of course, that has been controlled by the Port Authority, which is to say it's been government-owned property since the Rockefellers and their kinfolk and their servitors and minions and allies used eminent domain to confiscate that property to build the World Trade Center complex a number of decades ago. But I think that there's an effort to nurture and to keep alive and occasionally to revivify this sense of irremediable hurt and outrage that afflicted our country on the morning of September 11th and in the days immediately thereafter. They need this. That's why they ascribe a certain sanctity to this area, and I think that there's a deliberate intention here to make sure that nothing of any productive use is built there for as long as it takes in order to extract the last full measure of public outrage over what was done to us on that day. But this so-called mosque would not be built there. It would not be built anywhere near there. It would not be built within eye shot. There is no direct eye line from this former Burlington Coat Factory store to the plaza where the towers once stood. And I'm glad that you reiterated that. And you talk about the fact that this is something which is being done by way of a manufactured outrage. And the question is, why would they do this? To what purpose and to what end? And who is responsible for this manufactured outrage? The thing that I find really interesting about all this is that this has been something, this idea of creating a Muslim community center, which would have, among other things, a basketball court and a swimming pool. The proposed structure would also include a yoga studio. Yoga is not something which is countenanced by fundamentalist Muslims. It's a product, of course, of the Hindu religion, which, of course, has no love lost. There's no love lost between Hinduism and Islam, particularly in India. It also would have a place for Hebrew instruction, and Hebrew is not a language which is embraced by most Muslims. Not to put too fine a point on that observation. But the proposal to build that facility has been in the works for many, many years now. As a matter of fact, Raul first discussed this over a decade ago in 1999, a couple of years before the September 11th assault. And so you're dealing with a proposal that has been in the system for a number of years. The fellow who owns the lease, a real estate developer, who's, I believe, the owner of a firm called Soho Properties, New York City, is a man by the name of Sharif El Gamal. He was born and raised in Brooklyn. He's obviously of Egyptian ancestry. He lived in Egypt for a few years as a teenager. He's the son of a chemical bank official, a fairly high-ranking official in that very much establishment bank. Mr. El Gamal is a dropout from college who became a real estate entrepreneur at a very young age. He's still in his late 30s, if I remember correctly. But he's not a particularly religious man. At one point, in spite of the fact that he's an Egyptian of nominally Muslim background, he was attending a Jewish community center on Amsterdam in New York, a different part of the city, and he came up with the idea that it would be nice in some part of the city to develop a similar facility for those of the Muslim faith that would be open to people from other religious backgrounds, as well as having a place for religious services for people of the Muslim faith. And he's been trying for 4 or 5 years to find the property and to work the deal and to set in motion this project. Over a year ago, this was something that was being discussed in the New York Times. It's something that received the approval of people both in the commercial realm and also people from different religious backgrounds, both Christian and Jewish as well as Islamic. When Mr. Sharif's wife, Daisy Khan, was on Fox News in December of last year, she was being interviewed by Laura Ingraham, who was sitting in that evening for Bill O'Reilly and Bill O'Reilly's television show. And they had a long and very amicable interview. And at the end of that, Laura Ingraham said, "Well, I think this is a wonderful thing that you're proposing. It's a wonderful idea. I don't know of anybody who objects to it." That was December of last year. As recently as 6 or 7 months ago, Iman Rauf was a guest on Fox News. He was treated very cordially, and he explained what he was trying to do with this Cordoba initiative. As he describes it, and we've got no reason to dispute his description, he's trying to engender interfaith relations and amicable understandings among what he describes as the three great Abrahamic religions, that's Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And so you've got a situation that was manufactured really in a very recent time frame, probably no more than 5 or 6 or 7 months ago. You had this entire controversy be whipped up, where you have studious and deliberate misrepresentation of all the critical facts about what this is supposed to be, where it would be located, the people who are behind it, the stated intentions of the people who would be doing this, and so forth. And any time you have a campaign of this sort that achieves such vehemence and prominence so quickly, you've got to believe that the people who are in the business of molding the public mind had done their level best to bring about this set of events. And it seems to me that the most obvious motive here, first of all, the most obvious beneficiary would be that part of the power elite I've come to call the war party, the people who seem to be invested in perpetual war. But if you look at this in a larger canvas, so to speak, it's obvious that what's going on here is they want to create something that for years has been steadfastly and studiously denied as the intention behind the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and now in Somalia, Yemen, Pakistan, and elsewhere. They literally want to create a civilizational conflict between what remains of the West and the Muslim world. You're dealing with 1.3 to 1.5 billion people who are adherents of the Muslim faith, which as a Christian I believe is rooted in error. Of necessity, I'd have to say that I believe that it's rooted in demonic error. I think that it's something that enslaves the minds and that is a bane to the soul of those who preach and profess and adhere to that religion. As a Christian, I would encourage and invite and implore people who are in the Muslim faith to come to know and understand the unique blessing of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That being said, as a public policy issue here, it's obviously not in the interest of anybody who is not deranged or power mad to be bringing about a conflict between the Muslim world and the West. However you want to characterize the West, it was once called Christendom. We really can't call it that anymore. But the United States has been manipulated into a position now where we confront the very real prospect of what could be a multi-decade, assuming, of course, that we last that long. I don't know how on earth we could possibly fund such an undertaking for longer than a couple of years at the rate of our current economic collapse. But it's something that would be a hugely catastrophic affair.
And you're really talking, of course, about a war between Christendom and the Muslim world. And so
yeah.
This is the last thing you want to do, Samuel Huntington. I certainly warned against this in his book, The Class of Civilizations, and yet our leaders seem to be intent upon carrying out a totally suicidal policy. And certainly the Muslims know this. The average American doesn't understand. But the leaders of America, at least the invisible government, wants a war between the West and the Muslim world. The Muslims know it. The only people who don't know it is the average American. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, think of who the real beneficiary would be here. If you had a war that pitted Christians against Muslims, obviously the Christians and Muslims are not going to benefit from that type of a war. Who would be the beneficiary? Well, by default, the logical beneficiary would be this established, globalist, entrenched, collectivist elite that really wants to eradicate all religions other than the worship of the state and those who preside over the state. The globalists would win that conflict irrespective of what happens on the battlefield. That's why they're promoting this, in my opinion.
Well, I have no question that this whole thing is coming to a climax, and coming to a climax very soon, I believe it's going to be. But a war with Iran, I don't know what is going to take place, where there may be some good news, it may be that they've postponed their plans. Certainly the Obama administration's come out recently, just from the last 24 hours, and said that Iran will not have a bomb with it for another year, so there's nothing to worry about. Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, William, we seem to be getting a little bit of static there.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Allowed America to be the dominant force in the world, but that scheme is under attack today. And of course, as William had said, Saddam Hussein had talked about trying to certainly find an alternative to the use of the dollar to buy oil, and certainly Iran is talking about doing exactly the same thing. And of course, if this were to come about, it would have serious consequences on the stability of our currency and on the lives of everyone listening to this program, because the reserve position of the dollar has given us the ability to live a very affluent life and maintain living standards in America. But if the dollar ever loses its reserve status and loses its status as the petrodollar, then, of course, there are going to be serious consequences financially and economically for everyone listening to the radio tonight. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, And I'm just cynical enough to think that one of the reasons why the public is being whipped up into a fine froth of manufactured frenzy over this so-called Ground Zero mosque is that the people responsible for destroying the value of the dollar want to be able to scapegoat the Muslim world at large as being responsible for this catastrophe that's going to be unfolding very soon. It's entirely possible that within the next 6 months we're going to see an unprecedented economic collapse in this country. Already we're finding ourselves slipping down an ever-deepening slippery slope into outright undisguised economic depression. But if the analysis which is being urged upon us by people like Gerald Celente and John Williams is anywhere near the ballpark of accurate, we're going to find ourselves in a collapse, the likes of which will make the Great Depression really look like a hiccup. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see how this campaign, which has the fingerprints, the grubby, greasy fingerprints of the power elite all over it, is being set up as a way to persuade the public that all of our problems are the result of the money-grubbing Arabs. As a matter of fact, I've seen letters to the editor in the Idaho Statesman, the Boise newspaper that I get here, to that effect already, that these people who have us over the proverbial barrel of oil are the ones who are responsible for our economic problems. The same things were being said back in the late 1970s. They're true, but only up to a point. They're not the ones who brought about the sundering of the dollar's connection to gold. That's something that was done by Richard Nixon. That was done by Richard Nixon in collaboration with his Council of Economic Advisors and the people who run the Federal Reserve System. The Arabs didn't inflict that on us. We allowed our own rulers to do that to us here at home. The Muslims had nothing to do with it, yet the Muslims are probably going to take the blame for it. At least that's the plan on the part of the power elite. And now you have the Malaysian government talking about introducing a gold dinar, a gold-backed currency, or a currency that would be traded as a species, you'd have actual gold and precious metals in circulation again in a country that's part of the Muslim world, one of the areas of the Muslim world, incidentally, where Washington still has some friends. And there have been discussions in the Emirates, in the United Arab Emirates, of reverting to some form of a gold-backed currency. There have been discussions since no later than 2008, as Alan Greenspan himself, who had made the suggestion that the people in the Muslim world and places like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the Emirates, and so forth, that they need to get out of the dollar because, as Mr. Greenspan himself said at a meeting in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, the dollar is worthless now. I mean, he didn't take personal responsibility for that, but he played more than his share of a role in bringing about the development now against which he was warning the people at this conference in Saudi Arabia. So if you have a flight from the dollar on the part of these people who are helping to prop up the dollar, in the Muslim world in particular, now you have a preloaded narrative that this is part of a plot by the jihadists, by the Mohammedans, to bring down the last Christian stronghold, and the public mind has been prepared for this. If, heaven forbid, there's an actual terrorist attack, or more likely, that the FBI pulls back the curtain, one of its little insta-jihadist plots that it's been running for the last 5 or 6 years, that's something that will reinforce even further this sense of encirclement or this sense of being under siege that has been so assiduously created by the people in charge of manufacturing these public threats. So I really think that plays into the designs here, which would be for some form of economic collapse, and then, of course, for open-ended war on the Muslim world until eventually what remains of our freedom is nothing more than a forlorn and fleeting memory.
I share your concern. I think we're in very, very serious problems. I think that we are being played like a violin. I think the American people are being constantly manipulated from crisis to crisis. Our attention is being taken away from the really important issues. We're being manipulated into hating the Muslims, and they're doing everything they can, the Muslim world, to get the Muslims to hate us. That's where wars come from. Land that I love, stand beside her. Williams, go right ahead.
One of the things that we have to put into this discussion by way of an illustration of how the government is being used to promote radical Islam is the result of the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. In Iraq, we still have 50,000 troops who are stationed there. They're not described as combat troops, but they're in a combat zone. They're going to be there probably for the foreseeable future. The main element of the Iraq occupation army has been moved over the horizon, but they could be moved back in country very quickly. We're told that we'll get out of Iraq by next year, but no, as a matter of fact, we're being told now by the general in charge that there is no plan to get out of Iraq, out of Afghanistan. What we need to understand is that the constitutions imposed on these countries at gunpoint by the United States military, acting at the behest of the secret shadow government you talk about, Dr. Stan, both of those constitutions enthrone Sharia law as the fundamental law of the land. That's something not many people understand. You literally have a situation where over 5,000 Americans have died. They were sent abroad to kill and die on behalf of a war that ended up enshrining Sharia law. And of course, in the last week and a half, 2 weeks or so, during this manufactured controversy over the mosque, everybody has suddenly become an expert on Sharia law, which is actually a very complicated and detailed and expansive subject that's very difficult to get one's arms around. But suddenly we're all told is about the horrible things that are done in the name of Sharia law. Indeed, there are many, many horrible things that are done in the name of Sharia law, but we're not being told that the same government in Washington that supposedly liberated Iraq and Afghanistan imposed on those countries constitutions that enthroned Sharia law. There is a declaration made by Major Stephen C. Coughlin of the U.S. Army Reserve. He's a military intelligence specialist. According to his bio, he's often cited as the Pentagon's leading expert on the nexus between Islamic law and jihad. In this lawsuit, which was filed by the Thomas More Center against AIG, because AIG is involved in Sharia-compliant financing in the Muslim world, Mr. Coughlin made the following observation. Quote, "The direct subordination of the law of the land to Sharia is reflected in the national constitutions of many Islamic countries, including the constitutions the United States government had oversight in drafting, both Afghanistan and Iraq. For example, Article 2 of the Iraqi Constitution states that Islam is the official religion of the state, and it is a fundamental source of legislation."
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply pointing out something, a point that very few Americans understand, and that is that certainly Iraq was a secular country. The Christians lived there along with the Muslims and the Kurds, and they got along fairly well. They had a ruthless, tyrannical dictator, but remember, he was the dictator who had worked for the CIA for many years. We have books written 20 years ago talking about how Saddam Hussein worked for the CIA in the late 1950s as a paid assassin. And of course, we helped to bring him to power in 1979. We kept him in power, and if you doubt that, you need to read the book See No Evil by Robert Baer.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when we got rid of the wicked Saddam Hussein, the United States government brought in a constitution in Iraq that is Sharia law, so the Christians have been forced out. The Christians could live there under the regime of the ruthless Saddam Hussein. But now that the heroic Americans have come and established a government under Sharia law, why, of course, the Christians have been forced to flee, either that or submit to being second-class citizens, where they would be taxed and certainly subject to all sorts of rules and regulations they never were under the wicked Saddam Hussein. And the same would be true, of course, in Afghanistan. Well, before we go on, William, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can certainly listen to your radio program, and how they can find your PayPal button there on your programs. Go ahead.
Dr. Stan, I appreciate that. My blog is called Pro Libertate, and it can be found by Googling my name, William Grigg, or William N. Grigg. That's probably going to be the first result that will come up of the Pro Libertate, or you can just Google Grigg and Pro Libertate, ProLibertate, or go to freedominourtime.blogspot.com, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. I try to update the blog usually about 3 times a week as my situation permits. I also publish a lot of what I write by way of the blog at lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. He republishes a lot of the essays that I publish at Pro Libertas. He also has a blog to which I contribute quite frequently. And just this last week, I started blogging at the Libertarian Standard. I have one essay up there that I published yesterday, probably going to publish a couple of things over the weekend. But the entry point to all that is my blog, Pro Libertate. My radio program, which is aired by the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com, every Saturday night, is also called Pro Libertate. It's on from 8 o'clock until 11 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock California Time. 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the time zone where I live with my family, it's Mountain Time. LibertyNewsRadio.com, if you go to the website, there's a list of terrestrial radio stations that are affiliates of Liberty News Radio. I believe there are probably 40 or 50 of them. And the program is also archived at LibertyNewsRadio.com. It can be downloaded as podcasts. It's being broadcast now over a cell phone network in collaboration with Nokia. I don't really know the details of that, but that's something that just happened in the last couple of days, and I know that the people behind Liberty News Radio are very excited about that. LibertyNewsRadio.com, and you mentioned, Dr. Stan, that I do have the means to receive donations by way of my PayPal account at the bottom of every essay. I have a PayPal button that people can use to make donations if they have PayPal accounts as well. And Dr. Stan, a lot of your audience has been very generous to me and to my family. I do appreciate that. It's been the means we've relied on, quite frankly, to keep our head above the plimsoll line, so to speak. And that's something we really appreciate. It's at the bottom of every essay at freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
Well, I'm so glad that has worked out well for you. Anyway, let's get back to the subject at hand, and of course we're talking about how basically the United States government had, you know, taken these countries, Iraq, a secular government, and now the Sharia law is the official religion. Certainly we couldn't have Christianity as the official religion of the United States, but we could impose upon the people of Iraq Sharia law as the official religion, certainly of Iraq. Go right ahead.
It really is quite staggeringly perverse to think that the 4,000 men and women who died in Iraq and the 1,000 or so men and women, and we're talking here about Americans, but of course there are thousands of others from other countries as well, including, of course, people from Iraq and Afghanistan who've been killed in these wars. But all these people were sacrificed on the altar of enthroning Sharia law in the constitutions of those countries. In the case of Afghanistan, 40 years ago, you can actually go back and look at some photographs on the Internet from various archival sources, contemporaneous journalism of the early 1960s, which showed in Afghanistan a modern, somewhat secular country springing up where you had women who were studying to become professionals. I mean, not merely walking around in burqas and being treated as if they were second class or lower a status of citizens in their country, but you had women who were in medical school, you had women who were studying to become physicians and physicists and so forth. This is in Afghanistan. And what's happened is that over the course of 40 or 50 years, there's been a rebarbative influence as a result of constant military occupation and the fomenting of revolution by the Soviet Union and by the United States. The Soviet Union, of course, fomented a revolution and installed a proxy government. The United States, beginning in 1979, did the same. You've had, since 1979, constant military intervention and warfare, interrupted by a period of 6 or 7 years when the worst elements of tribal, how best to put this, the worst influences of the tribal cultures, plural, of Afghanistan, were catalyzed with the help of the Pakistani intelligence agency, which was working as a cutout for the CIA. That's where the Taliban movement came from. And that's not in any way, shape, or form representative of Islam on a global scale. Now, there are other things that go on under the banner of Islam that are bad, but when we see things like that hideous cover from Time magazine of a couple of weeks ago of a woman who'd had her nose cut off as punishment from trying to flee an abusive husband, that's not Islamic, that's tribalist, and that's something that was churned to the surface because of military intervention. And that happened, actually. That young woman, that once lovely young woman, was brutalized a couple of years ago in spite of the fact that the cover headline said this is what will happen if the United States leaves Afghanistan, and that's obviously war propaganda, this is something that happened while the United States military was in Afghanistan. And you can make a good case that it happened because of the efforts of the United States government to try to create, beginning in 1979, a military and political situation in Afghanistan that was more to its interests and obviously not in the interests of the Afghan people. But they didn't have a constitution that enshrined Sharia law until the United States government inflicted one on them. The same is true of Iraq. You mentioned, Dr. Stan, that under the reign of Saddam Hussein, who was a subcontractor for Washington, and as such, of course, was a loathsome and thuggish individual, you still had, in spite of the fact that this guy was a dictator who could be extremely brutal to those who were his political adversaries, you still had greater space for private life, including, of course, the recognition and exercise of the right of property and the exercise of even the right to self-defense. There were many, many armed people in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. There are many people in the private realm who were very well armed. You could own just about anything you could afford to buy under Saddam Hussein. Not the case now, and you also had a surprising amount of freedom of worship. There was a large Christian community in Iraq. Many of them spoke Aramaic, which was the language of Jesus and his disciples, and they were in religious congregations that could trace their roots back almost to the very founding of Christianity. Those people now have been chased out of that country. They've ended up in places like Syria and Lebanon. A number of them have ended up gravitating toward a large Iraqi expatriate community around Detroit. There are some in California as well. But this is something that happened because of the so-called liberation of Iraq. And as I was reading before the break, a segment or so back, I was reading from the actual text of the Constitution that was inflicted on Iraq by the United States government. Article 2 of that Constitution decrees that Islam is the official religion of the state, and then it goes on to say, no law that contradicts the established provisions of Islam may be established. And the Constitution of Afghanistan has provisions that are very similar. In the section, Article 2, which refers to religions, states that, quote, the religion of the state of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan is the sacred religion of Islam, and then provision 2 is followers of other religions are free to exercise their faith and perform the religious rites within the limits of the provisions of law. Now, that's a cute little trick. That's like the so-called Universal Declaration of Human Rights from the United Nations, or what's much the same thing, the Soviet Constitution, where with one hand they grant what the government is pleased to call a right, and then with the other hand they qualify it out of existence. In the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, for instance, they always talk about all these specific rights that you enjoy, but you're not free to exercise them in a way that is contrary to the provisions of the law. The American constitutional perspective, of course, is that laws have to be written in a way to protect rights. Rights don't have to conform to the law. Rather, the law has to conform to rights. Well, here we have, in this case, in Iraq and in Afghanistan, you have the United States government overtly promoting Sharia, which means that the thousands of Americans who died in Iraq and Afghanistan are martyrs to the cause of Islamic law. And yet this is celebrated. What's described as the heroism and sacrifice of American fighting men and women, and we shouldn't have fighting women, incidentally, just by way of passing, I have to make that very clear. We shouldn't have fighting women in the United States military. But they're sacrifice and accomplishments are celebrated in many of the same Christian churches where you can routinely hear sermons and seminars execrating the vile influence of Islam and Sharia law, and yet they celebrate the achievements of these men and women in the American Armed Forces who were part of one of the most grotesque bait-and-switch operations in the history of mankind. These people enlisted in the military because they wanted to protect our country, they wanted to serve our Constitution. Many of them went to Iraq and Afghanistan in good faith, thinking that what they would do in fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan would be to beat back the forces of Islamic radicalism and protect our country from the threat that that movement represents. And yet their efforts were transmuted into an effort that enshrined Sharia law in both of those countries. And now all we can hear about, 24/7, wraparound media coverage and talk radio and on cable television, is how the United States is menaced by the vile specter of Sharia law, as supposedly embodied what's called the mega mosque in Washington, in New York City, in the very shadow of Ground Zero. And this, of course, closes the circle, closes the loop on this endless effort to indoctrinate and mobilize the public here on behalf of what would be a civilizational war against Islam that neither the West nor the Muslims would win, but the globalists would win by default. This isn't the first time that we've been led into this particular predicament, but this threatens to be the last time, because if you take a look at the correlation of forces here in terms of the weakness of the American economy and in terms of the fragility of what remains of our constitutional system, if we find ourselves involved in a civilization imperiling war with a religion that is professed by 1.5 billion people, I just don't like our odds here for survival as anything resembling a free country. But that seems to be the program that they have sketched out for us, and I certainly hope that something will happen very soon to counteract the war hysteria that is being propagated through this so-called Ground Zero mosque controversy.
Well, even more frightening as we look at this whole scenario and try to make sense out of it is the fact that Pakistan has nuclear weapons. How did a third-rate country like Pakistan, you know, that basically has difficulty feeding its people, how were they able to develop nuclear weapons?
Yeah.
Very, very simple. You need to read this Sybil Edmonds story. It's my January 2008 newsletter. Sybil Edmonds worked for the FBI. She was able to interpret a number of the various cables and telephone intercepts. She found out that there was a spy ring working at the highest levels of our government that was transferring the nuclear technology and wherewithal to Pakistan. She tried to bring this fact out. Justice Department wouldn't let her. She appealed it to a federal court. They wouldn't let her. She went to the appeal court. They wouldn't let her. She went to the Supreme Court. And all of them said, in the name of national security, we can't let the American people know that our government is giving the wherewithal to build nuclear weapons to Pakistan, which doesn't make any sense unless you see that we're being manipulated into a war with the Muslim world, and the Muslim world has nuclear weapons. Thanks very much to the spy ring that most Americans have never heard of. The name is Sybil Edmonds. Sybil Edmonds, every American should read the material. You can find it on the Internet or at my newsletter, January 2008. Go right ahead.
Now, the really interesting thing about her story was the alacrity with which the government moved to shut her up. Now, if their objective, the objective of the people running the government ruling us, had been to protect us against the threat of nuclear proliferation, which is the rationale for the envisioned war with Iran, the CIA just set up a big counter-proliferation center. The only reason they're going to do that is because they want to use this, I believe, to generate propaganda to justify a war with Iran in the name of nuclear counterproliferation. But if that really were their concern, they would have moved heaven and earth to walk back the cat from the AQ Khan scandal, which, of course, had to do with nuclear proliferation, and there was a connection to Pakistan there as well, and North Korea as well. But they also would have made a point of acting on the revelations that Sybil Edmonds made as she translated those intercepts and revealed the existence of this spy ring that was helping in nuclear proliferation. Instead, of course, they muzzled her. They made sure that she didn't have access to the public. They've been doing everything they possibly can, not only to muzzle and marginalize her, but to intimidate her into silence. She's, you know, God bless her, not the sort of a person who's easily intimidated. But this illustrates the consummate hypocrisy and duplicity of the people running things. And once again, if these people were making mistakes, if you're dealing here with ineptitude, every once in a while, just given the constant stream of instances of this sort and apparent missteps of this variety, every once in a while their ineptitude will work to our benefit. But it never does. It's too consistently a case of their supposed ineptitude, or what appears to be their ineptitude, leading us in a definable direction that results in our injury as a free and independent people living in a free and independent country. And once you remove stupidity or ineptitude as possible explanations, you're left with something much worse, and that is deliberate, malevolent, organized, conspiratorial efforts to aggrandize their power at the expense of the rest of us, to deliberately to destroy our prosperity, our independence, and to exalt themselves over the rest of us, using whatever crisis they can contrive to advance that design.
Let me just urge our listeners to look up the Sybil Edmonds story. You can read it on the internet. You can certainly read it in the articles that came out in the London Times, or you can read it at RadioLiberty.com, January of 2008, I believe, the Sybil Edmonds story. William, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, and let's just pray for peace, pray that these things don't come to pass, but if they do, that certainly that the Lord will at least stand by his people, as he always does. Hold just back, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, once again, thanks so much for the blessing of taking some time to talk with you.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for caring about your world. Thank you for remaking your world. That's right. That's what we do here at the Power Hour, one day at a time. We remake our world. Don't like theirs? Let's make our own. Karen Tassano will join us in the second hour to talk about remaking your world and saying no to their system. How do we do that? How do we substitute from our own system? We will be talking with her and United We Strike. Don't you like it? UnitedWeStrike.com is the website. And in the third hour, of course, we'll take your phone calls for a little while, and then we're going to be giving away a satellite dish. So I hope that if you've sent in a letter, you're going to be there by the phone, because we're going to try and call on the air. We like to do that every once in a while. Sometimes we make it, sometimes we don't. But that's okay. It's Feel Good Friday, and we want to do some good things. I hope that you are having a good day. I hope that you are going to make it a good day. However it starts out, you can change that. You can make a decision right now. Just a few degrees in your thought pattern will change your day. Just remember, we are so blessed. I was standing outside last night listening. I closed my eyes and I was just listening to everything that was around me. Of course, living out in the country is one thing you can do. And it's amazing what you can hear when you're not seeing. And of course, those people that are not sighted, they know all about what I'm saying. I just could hear the deer in the bushes doing their hissing thing and stamping their feet and things that you don't hear when you're looking. Sometimes we need to sort of close our eyes and our ears and think with our heart also. So I hope that you are starting to change the way you look at things, because that's what we do have control of. We don't have control of them. We have to admit that there are things that people are doing that we cannot agree with. We don't agree with. All you have to do is turn on the television, you see that, and you realize how powerless we are to control the people on television, what they say, even the fact that they're not telling the truth. Well, if you're watching television, or if you are not watching television, what you would be hearing is the mosque, the mosque, the mosque. That's it. It's all about the mosque. Well, now they've moved into another second discussion, which I have to tell you is so obvious of what they're attempting to do. And that is Obama really a Muslim? Now, this has been all over the internet, all over the news services. Is Obama really a Muslim? Well, do we care? Do we think that's an issue? Well, I contacted someone who I know is a Muslim and asked them that question. You're going to hear the response today as to whether or not Obama is a Muslim. Now, why are they doing this? It is divide, divide, divide. As I watch the news or the pundits on television, what I see is division every day. More issues to divide more people. Now they're saying that the Greek church at 9/11, at the area of 9/11 Ground Zero,